This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Sam Mack, many of course know you as the face of weather on Sunrise. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure, Laura. Thank you very much for having me on. It's exciting times.
It does seem like a very fancy pants, highbrow thing to do to become an author, particularly when you're the guy who happily admits that you never studied meteorology to become a weatherman. So why did you write The Accidental Weatherman?
Well, I was actually contacted a couple of years ago now by the publisher, Hachette, and they just said that they thought I had a book in me because I guess I meet people, I travel Australia, and crazy things seem to happen in my segments and in my life. So they just said, look, you, if anyone has their, you know, their finger on the pulse of Australia, it's me, because I've visited over 800 places in Australia. Mm. I do an average of 110, 120 flights in a non-COVID year. So I go to people's houses, I go to their, you know, cricket clubs, I go to their schools, I go to their workplaces. So I really do meet thousands and thousands of Australians every year. So there's plenty of stories to tell.
And I notice in this handy dandy copy that I have here, your cat Coco is on the front looking very cute. Was that your choice or her choice to be featured?
That was her choice because she's a narcissist.
Oh. And,
she was actually waiting for her moment to star in this cross. Now, she is a Burmilla. That's half Burmese, half chinchilla. She's a rescue cat. I'm very passionate about rescue cats. She only has one tooth remaining, which is why she has her snarl, or RBF, resting bitch face, as it's been known. But she is, you know, there's a chapter dedicated to her, and I've got another rescue cat, Catra, full name Clear Catra. Mm. I thought Catra sounded much manlier. And I don't know, I guess I never planned or set out to be a cat man. I guess I'm an accidental cat man as well as an accidental weatherman. It just happened that way, and now I couldn't imagine life without them.
They are gorgeous, and I will admit to you that I've become a cat person during COVID, which I was not. I, like you, grew up as a dog person 100%, and it was actually my sister who I live with that forced our cat Louie upon us. So I appreciate the difficulty of that transition from dog to cat that you've experienced.
Well, welcome to the dark side, and it is the dark side. Anyone with cats will know that. I think what it is about cats is that they are so unimpressed by everything we do. They are so unwilling to, you know, show you affection and show you love or be excited that you're home from work. They just don't care, which makes us work harder for it. And then when we do get that little glimpse, that little moment where they, you know, sit on our lap or let us pat them and purr, we think we've accomplished something. So it's very clever, very strategic the way that they play the entire human race.
There's some definite mind games going on. But as people read your book, they will see that your fun spirit and the love that you have for people is right throughout it. Where does that passion come from? Because you do clearly have a value for fun and a value for hearing people's stories.
Absolutely. Thank you. I think it just comes from my upbringing. You know, I played soccer very competitively, and I was always around soccer clubs. And what I loved about soccer clubs, and I guess to many extents, most sporting clubs or whatever your club situation is, I was introduced to people from all types of backgrounds, you know, Greek people, Croatian people, Italian people, you know, a very multicultural environment, the soccer club. And it became our social hub, and everybody was from different places, but we all came together and we could connect on, you know, different things. And also, you know, the common love of soccer was, I guess, the thread. So I think I've just managed to carry that into my work life with this role, which is, you know, we meet people sometimes literally for just 3 hours, but you can form a connection pretty quickly if you've got an open mind and if you listen to people and if you approach it with a positive mindset where you want to celebrate people. And that's what we do. We go around Australia and try to make the most and give them a memorable morning and try to celebrate what they're doing at their school or at their local cricket club or whatever it is. And you can find some amazing connections by doing that. That's what I love about my job. It's we're rarely sharing any sad news. You know, there's enough sad news in the world. I love that we are going there with an open mind and with a open heart and a positive energy that we want to share in a congratulatory way what people are doing around the country.
When you do see so much of Australia, I think for those of us who live here this year, in the last 12 months as well, we've probably come to appreciate our own backyard a whole lot more. But what is it that you see across our country that you really think defines who we are as Australians, whatever your background might be? What is it that makes Australia us?
It's a really big question. I mean, it's a great question. I think I often feel that if you go an hour out of any city, that's when you find the real Australia and the, I guess, often more interesting Australia. Obviously, there's good people and great things going on in the cities as well. But I, in my experiences with travel, with this job in particular, the further you go out, you start to find the real characters and the real essence of Australia. And I think what that is a great sense of humour. If you're a bit of a tall poppy, they'll knock you down. So don't get too big for your boots. And I guess with what we've gone through over the last couple of years, it's really come to the surface, and that is that we look out for each other. And I guess it's a bit cliche, but it's true. Like, I've seen so many firsthand examples of, you know, I was covering the floods recently, and there was a street of people who they knew that there was an old guy, and probably in his mid to late 80s, who was a little bit unwell, and he was living by himself. They remembered, they thought about him, and in the middle of the night, because the water was rising, they knocked on his door, they got him out of bed, and they got him into a safer spot further up the street. And that's just one example. And that stuff goes on all the time around Australia, and we only see little snippets of it. I've been lucky enough to see so many great examples like that. So I think that's something to be really proud of. You know, the bushfires were another example of people really going above and beyond to look out for each other in a challenging situation. I think that's what Australia is, and I think that's something to be really proud of. And I think if you're going to be stuck anywhere in the world during this global pandemic, we're doing pretty well to be here. We've got wide open spaces. Yeah. We've got almost any type of holiday you can imagine, and we've got great people. Mm-hmm. And it's a bloody big country.
Yeah, I think there's one story you mentioned of a road trip that you had to do where you're literally a 20-hour drive from left to right and you're still in the same state. It just, the concept of how big Australia is really kind of gets you. And in getting to see as much as you do of our country and all of the wacky ways you've expressed your segment over the years, how does that impact you? Because on the one hand, you are there as a TV host to deliver this segment, but then you are also encountering these really beautiful human moments throughout your day. So how does that actually impact you personally?
Well, it makes me appreciate people. And that's really what the book is about. You know, obviously it's through my eyes and it's a lot of my experiences, but you know, there's a chapter dedicated to a lady named Carol who initially trolled me for wearing the color dirty green. And then I visited her at a Central Coast, you know, retirement village and went through her wardrobe and then we became friends. You know, that's a great outcome from what started as trolling, really. I think that how does it impact me? I guess it just makes me more interested in people, which is a great thing. I want to know more, and I love listening to people. And then my job is to kind of put their story in a little 2-minute soundbite that can work and can be conveyed on TV. It affects me in many ways. There are times when, you know, for example, recently in Victoria, we had the Good Friday Appeal, which is an amazing charity. It raised $17 million for children, sick children in Victoria. And it's not just Victorian kids. It's kids from around the country who do go there for specialist treatment. And we had a moment where a baby was born really prematurely, and he thankfully he was okay. But for the first, I guess, 3 or 4 months, and I guess COVID was a factor with this, he wasn't able to really be held by his parents, and he wasn't able to meet his brother. And his brother was, I think, 4 years old. We got to be in the room the moment that this 4-year-old met his baby brother for the first time and physically got to touch his hand. And we got to share that with our viewers. And that was one of my favourite moments I've had in the role. Yeah. It was just, I remember just thinking, I can't believe that I'm so privileged to witness this moment that they will remember for the rest of their lives, and our viewers get to see this moment. And, you know, it's not always the positive stories, though. It's not always uplifting. There's definitely times where we've been at a hospital and, you know, I've finished the show and I've got in the taxi or whatever, and I've really just, it kind of hits you because you put on a brave face in front of the parents are the best at putting on a brave face, you know, and the kids, you know, to really know how serious things are.
Someone's reversing into your lounge room.
It's all happening. It's gone. And it was a really nice moment we were having there as well. It was the worst timing ever for a garbage truck to reverse through. But it means that it just means that I appreciate, number one, the position I'm in to get to experience these moments with people, but number two, appreciate your own life and your own health.
And it is a fickle thing about breakfast television particularly, that there's so much fun and pace and adventure to it all. And then as you share in the Accidental Weatherman, there's also these times where you're called to bring a little bit more of your heart and a little bit more of your depth in segments like the ones around Are You Okay Day and these subjects that are difficult but really important to obviously talk about. How do you handle that when your personality is one that people often see as fun and life of the party, and yet you've got to share something a little bit more sensitive?
Yeah, well, it's something that I take very seriously. You know, I've been an Are You OK Day ambassador for around 7 years now, and I choose my moments when I speak on TV or on radio about mental health. You know, I lost a friend to his battles with mental health, and that's where my connection to it, I guess, originated. And I've learned so much about it over the years being involved and hosting events and that kind of thing. But I have to choose my moments because it still, you know, affects me on a personal level to bring back those memories and to talk about, you know, someone that we've lost. And I know that his family are in Adelaide and they could be watching, and I want to do their story justice. And it's heavy. And any time that I do speak publicly about it, I know that I'm going to receive probably hundreds of messages in the coming days. And I love that, and I welcome that. And I always do my best to write back to every single one, but I'm not a counselor and I can't be on call for people. So I do have to sometimes draw the line. So the short answer is I choose my moments with that. When I do it properly and I do it well, and I do it with conviction and do it from the heart and from a place of authenticity. But I don't do it flippantly, and I don't do it unless I'm in the right headspace myself to be able to deal with the coming days of responses to it.
Yeah, and while those segments come up infrequently, more often than not, we see you as a weatherman, and around the world, the gig of weatherman involves being thrown into so many ridiculous situations, scenarios, the bungee jumping, the tap dancing, whatever it might be. Why is it that weathermen, weather people, get that gig? Why is it not Sam and Koshy? Or now Nat and Koshy?
Well, yeah. Look, it's a good question. I think it's because most of the stuff in the studio, and like the news, for example, particularly over the last couple of years, is really heavy, right? It's really sad, it's depressing, it's scary. So they need something to break that up. Now, first of all, that's getting out of the studio. So it's, you know, sending me to Toowoomba or whatever it might be. And secondly, it's light relief, and we need to have like a breather from the sad news. And I would much rather be in my position, the one doing those crazy things, than sat tied to a desk with an auto cue, you know, going along like this. I definitely agree that it's always the weather person that sort of is doing that stuff. But I've got to admit, like, a lot of those crazy things I come up with myself.
Right.
I'm like, what if we tried this? Or, you know, what if I did release a song with the Wiggles, you know? And I think it's great. And I really love with my role that we can do something for the kids as well. You know, I'm a big fan of The Simpsons, and The Simpsons has jokes for the parents and jokes for the kids. And I just think that's brilliant because they're working on many levels. I try, obviously I'm not The Simpsons, I don't have a team of writers, but I try to do some jokes and some bits of fun that are for the parents, and then some that are just silly, slapstick, obvious for the kids. And I think if you get that balance, because a lot of kids watch our show and they watch it before they go to school, and you don't want them thinking that the whole world is doom and gloom. Mm. Of course, you know, coronavirus is a scary thing, but you're still allowed to laugh, you're still allowed to smile and have fun, and you can still be silly. And I think that's an important message for kids.
Yeah, so you basically need to redefine your role as weatherman / kids entertainer / unofficial meteorologist, but it's such a fun gig that you do have, and I'm so excited to see more of what you have to say in your book. I'm going to hold it up one more time. Sam Mack, Accidental Weatherman, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Laura. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.